Eurovision. Welcome to Eurovision, a podcast with a unique Irish perspective on the Eurovision Song Contest.
12 points,
Ireland! Oh, guys, of everything.
And welcome back to the Eurovision podcast. We are back with another episode for you guys, and it was Super Saturday just gone, and Jesus, it was a mental one. How are you, Lou? Firstly, before we get into things,
Dave, Tom Gabrach, or Margaret, hello, I'm good, thanks. Yeah, very, very busy weekend indeed. A super, super interesting Saturday, yeah. I think it is fair to say, but. Enjoyed it nonetheless, got to catch some of it with you, Connor.
Mm-hmm.
And my housemates were laughing at me with the ESC Plus website open and all of the different streams going. And my friend Tara, hello Tara, said to me, I was something like a security person, like looking at all the cameras or like a, you know, like a computer scientist or something.
Making sure everything's all right.
Like. All the tabs open. So Asher, it's part and parcel of it. It has to be done.
I know, absolutely. But we had seven national finals, so to say. A few other ones that were happening, semi-finals and such as that. But we got seven songs to add to the class of 2023. Estonia, Denmark, Latvia, Romania, Croatia, Malta and Italy all selected their songs for ESC 2023.
Our amount of songs have doubled.
Literally.
Overnight.
Yeah. And, you know... We survived. That's the main thing. We survived February
11th. She's got a sticker. I survived Super Saturday.
And yeah, that's probably as mental as it's going to get for the season. You know, we have a few.
The next weekend's pretty quiet, actually.
Pretty quiet, yeah. I think March is the next kind of biggish, but we
and then all
really
the internals drop.
True.
And they kind of catch you by surprise.
Yeah.
I remember I think it might have been 2021, we had like three songs drop in one night in March and stuff. So March can just be a funny one.
Yeah. So we better get started with our discussion of Super Saturday because there is so much to get through. And we're going to kick things off with Esti Laul in Estonia. Lou, things came to an head and we got a winner.
Estonia ultimately chose Alika and Bridges. She was one of the favourites going into the night.
There is always time to get back on track. Tearing down the wall slowly every step. Now I see myself building up a world.
I was dipping in and out of this one. Personally, I was a little bit more invested in another song, which was Ollie Venom. I really loved that one. I thought it would have been
that seemed to be the
a
one
good pick.
Like people liked quite early on. I didn't follow Esti Laul, but that was the one I kept seeing come up on the timeline.
What I saw was it was kind of like Alika versus Ollie. It was very 50-50. And both sides were quite loud in their support. There was a lot of other good ones too. I think ultimately in the super final, it was Alika and two other songs which kind of had rocky elements. So perhaps you could say maybe they cancel each other out a little bit or shared fans. But this is quite a competent one, to be quite honest with you. Maybe I haven't had enough time to sit with it, but it hasn't. I couldn't actually really like sing any of the melody for you right now. I couldn't really remember it. But what I do remember is that visually it was really stunning. She's incredible as a performer, as a vocalist. So this is a very competent entry for Estonia. And I think their selection's been quite good. It's been improving. They're probably looking over the water to Finland, who... are obviously doing an amazing job. Flying with the... Lithuania has been kind of stepping it up too in recent years. So I think Estonia can be proud of the selection. I think this is a decent entry for Eurovision in Liverpool. But on the flip, I don't have a huge amount to say about the song. So it's kind of there for me.
Yeah.
It's the lower end of my ranking at present. But this is one of those ones, particularly slower songs can sometimes grow on me. And this could be one of those. What are your feelings?
Yeah, quite similar. I think this is probably a victim of Super Saturday being so hectic that we haven't had time to sit with it. Potentially, maybe if it was released on its own, I might have more of an appreciation for it. But I'm not too sure. It doesn't wow me. Like, she's an amazing singer. It's a lovely kind of build to write the song, but it doesn't grip me. So, like you said, it is at the lower end of my top at the moment. But I think once, maybe potentially over the next week, because obviously, like we were saying, this weekend's quite quiet, maybe I'll appreciate it a bit more. But to be honest, I did have a listen to Venom, because like you were saying, they were the two that people were kind of making the most noise about. And I think Venom would have been a nicer entry for them. It's a bit different. That raspy kind of rock vocal would have been quite Estonian, I think.
Very memorable hook.
Yeah.
In Venom.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit Nickelback in a good way. I know Nickelback gets a lot of slagging, but you know, I always liked that sound when I was younger. And yeah, there's almost a nostalgic feeling to Venom without it feeling like dated at the same time.
I'd agree with that.
But it was a good selection overall. It wasn't ever boring. Estonia had some good choices. Alika was definitely one of them. Hard to believe she's 20 years old.
Yeah.
Talent, I tell you.
I heard someone describe her as like the Adele of Estonia. With that kind of vocal. So.
She's won a few competitions there and stuff. And she's building a profile. So she's kind of one of those. She's definitely up and coming. Definitely liked in Estonia. And I think she'll be in the Eurovision sphere in years to come, regardless maybe of how she does this year. Too early to say, obviously, at present. Yeah. But there we have it. The first of the Baltic countries, really, to choose. It'll be interesting to see what else comes out of that region in the weeks to come.
Absolutely.
Moving over to our kind of, could you say, Scandi friends?
Yeah, kind of.
Sweden's bestie.
Yeah.
Who is it?
It's, of course, Denmark.
Mm-hmm.
And Denmark's Melody Grand Prix basically took place. Mm-hmm. And we have a winner with Riley Breaking My Heart. Yeah, quite a different sound, I would say, for Denmark in terms of
it. I love it.
It's not dated. It's very current.
It's so 1975. I love it. I know you love it too.
I love it.
It's you can't get that hook out of your head. Na 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 na, falling apart.
Yeah.
Even the LED heartbreaking, that is so the 1975. Mm-hmm. I saw them play Ziggot and they had a massive LED heart on the stage. He's big on TikTok, this Riley guy, right?
10 million followers?
Yeah.
So quite big.
He's from the Faroe Islands.
Yeah, our first ever Faroese artist entering in Eurovision, which is fantastic.
It's so cool.
So cool. I really love this song. I really, really like this song. It reminds me of, you know, there's like teen movies that you watch. It's that kind of vibe. Yeah, that kind of vibe. And Love, Simon. You know, you're just kind of... they're chilling in the car and like the sunroof's down and they're like going up the highway living their best life and you're just sitting at home and you're like, I'd love to be them right now, you know, living your best life.
They're young.
Yeah, just chilling. Like, is it the most creative song? No, but it's a nice pop tune and, you know, you can't go wrong with that. And it seems to match the artist, which is really, really nice to see as well.
Agree.
And I think the studio cut, I was worried going into it because that kind of effect in the chorus is quite, you know, manipulative in terms
auto-tune-y
yes. kind of glitchy kind of effect. It worked really, really well live, I think. for me, I'd like to see more of his vocal come through, because he did sound really, really good live. And you can tell that there's a really, like, wide vocal range to him. So I'd love to see that explored a bit more on the live version, personally. But this is a great tune, and I would say, you know, it's so early to say, but I would be very surprised if this didn't qualify. I've seen a few people say that online today, but I think this is going through to the final. I know it's very 100%. Early, but this is...
This will have an audience.
That big LED screen behind them in Liverpool. Like, this is going to be... It's going to be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I really can't wait for this. But, yeah, it's high up on my ranking at the moment. And, yeah.
It's an interesting one, actually, as well. I saw a lot of talk of people taking issue with this because they felt he was relying on the pre-recorded backing vocals too much, and that... And people saying that he wasn't really singing, in inverted commas, which, you know, maybe he wasn't, but I don't know, am I just too cynical? I don't really care.
Yeah.
Like, I think if the rule is there for use Eurovision, it. Like, I mean, there's nothing we can do about it.
Exactly.
So use it, and if the song was good, I'm going to enjoy it. Yeah. So, I don't know, maybe I'm a bit cynical. I sort of feel like maybe that's a little bit of an excuse people mm-hmm. use when they maybe don't like the song that yeah. much, that to almost... criticize it. I mean, just say you don't like the song and go. Personally, I know it's a bit harsh for me to say, but I think it was performed well, and I agree with you in terms of, like, the staging, the aesthetic was really cool. One thing I've recently learned about him is that he's quite big in South Korea, which really? Makes sense, like the home of K-pop.
Yeah.
It's kind of got that K-pop edge. You mm-hmm. could imagine maybe a K-pop group singing a song like that.
Yeah.
Apparently, according to the Eurovision World website, he's also a big Eurovision fan himself.
Ooh.
And he said, see. I'm really excited about the opportunity to perhaps, this was before the competition, to perhaps represent Denmark and make the country proud in such an iconic competition. That's really, really lovely.
We love to see that when yeah. artists love the contest, like, and they get to
one
go to them.
Of us.
Exactly.
One of us. That's a bit culty.
Welcome to the circle, lads. No, I think he'll do great. Yes. I really like him. I love his style as well.
Super qualifier.
Yeah.
Love his
I was
hair.
Watching. Yeah, it's so curly. Apparently, he's not naturally curly either.
He's not?
No. I stalked his TikTok to see, get to know him more, really.
As a straight haired gal, I always have issue getting that volume into my hair. So if I ever meet Riley,
tips.
We are going to be having a conversation about yeah. that volume, because, whoa. I need some tips, please. Please. That's not like back combing and wrecking your hair.
Yeah, no. Apparently anyway. So. I saw he did a TikTok as well about the music video. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's really like pop of colours. And they all did that by himself. You know, it was two blank walls, painted them for the certain vibe that he was going, stripped it back, repainted again. Got what he was shooting, what he was wanting.
Artistic. Love that.
You know, creativity coming through.
Absolutely.
But that is Denmark. That was the second song that we got on Super Saturday.
Are we going back to the Baltics?
We're going back to the Baltics.
Because Latvia in Supernova chose Sudden Lights with Aya. I hope that's Aya. Correct. Another boy group, or I don't know, should we say boy group? Male group, male band.
Yeah.
For semi-final one, of course, we're always thinking with the Wild Youth slant, you know, the Irish fans in semi-final one. So, Supernova final, 50% jury, 50% viewers voting. I know Patricia was another big favourite, came runner-up in the end. Sudden Lights pushed through. A little bit of a surprise, I would say, actually, that these guys won. What I would say is the actual song, I think you might agree with me because we watched this result mm-hmm. together. The actual song isn't much to write home about.
No.
But the staging was really cool. I
yeah.
quite liked the lighting effect they had going on across the stage. I think the guys themselves have a cool presence. And that for me is the most memorable aspect of this package. But the issue is the song.
Yeah.
It could be a grower. So I'll give it that. What are your feelings, Connor?
Don't like it, to be honest. Don't like it. Re-listen to it
today. Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah. Look, it's messy. I feel like it's like three songs in one.
Okay.
The lads seem to, like, they have their image, they have their vibe, do you know what I mean? But the song is just messy. Unless they, you know, revamp it completely, I don't see this improving in my ranking. It's pretty low down for me. I just don't like it. Techno music I struggle with anyway, and that techno bit at the start kind of puts me off straight away. So that's an issue for me. The chorus is nice, I'll give them that, but it's just all over the place. I think the best bit for me is the last 15 seconds when they take it really, really low. And it's just his vocal, his raw vocal with like a tiny bit of instrumental in the background. That's the nicest bit. Everything else with the song is just messy. And yeah, I agree with you about the staging. It's cool, but like, you know, have cool staging. Yeah. If the song's not very good, it's not very good. So I struggle to see Lafia qualifying, to be honest.
I feel like Lafia's a bit lost.
Yeah. They need like Aminata or something to like bring them back to.
They had her last year. And
in fairness though, she did end up getting COVID, so she couldn't perform live. So she was performing in her
I still
in her,
don't think the song was the one.
Yeah.
Personally.
I don't know. I think they just need help.
They
need a cup of tea, be sat down and be like, lads, what's wrong with you?
I honestly think Latvia's probably one of the countries I would lump in with Ireland and say,
yeah,
we're having similar issues. It's kind of, we actually spoke to Alicia Michelle kind of recently about this. It's like, what is your goal?
Mm-hmm.
What are you here to do in Eurovision? Are you trying to win? Are you trying to qualify? Are you trying to showcase your country's culture or your country's music industry? Yeah. Like, what are Latvia doing in the competition? I feel like Finland want to win.
Oh, totally.
Estonia are improving and want to get good results. I feel like Lithuania are like building up a brand. Like, they had the roop. Monica Liu did well last year. I feel like they're on a nice trajectory too. It's like, what are Latvia doing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have Supernova. It's not a terrible selection by any means.
No.
There's some decent songs in it. But like, we
doesn't
just
go anywhere really, you know.
Yeah, they're like, in so many years there's just been so many like sleepy entries from them, and it's just a bit all over the place. Like, what, Latvia, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Aminata, they had what's his name? Heartbeat. They've had a few decent ones, and like that kind of dark pop edge, I think that's where they do well. They need to lean back into that more.
Yeah, like 2015, 16, 17 was like great Latvian years, I think. Like, I know 2017 didn't qualify, but that song was really, really cool and was a bit edgy. Go back to that edgy kind of vibes that you're used to.
Was that line? What, we dropped the line? That was good.
That was a good song.
Yeah, it was good.
Then 2018, forgettable. 2019.
Lullaby.
2020. In fairness, I did like Samantha Tina's first song.
Oh, jeez.
Take it, you didn't.
I'm happy that she got to Eurovision.
The second song was shite. Like, don't get me wrong.
Both songs were shite, I'm sorry.
I thought the first song had a bit more.
The real question with regard to Latvia is, has Marcus Riva confirmed yet that he's competing next year? Because it's not Supernova without good old Marcus in the lineup.
How many years since 2012 or something?
So many.
It's like,
so many. Yeah. God love him.
Poor fella.
I hope he gets to go somewhere. But anyway, that was Latvia. Moving now to another part of Europe. Connor, where are we going?
We're heading to Romania now. Hola, mi baby. Hola, mi baby. It's not hola, mi baby.
Can I just deliver some news on this before we get started?
I know what she's going to say.
Lads, bless yourselves in the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. I got given Romania in a group sweepstake for Eurovision this year. Pray for Lou.
Yeah, hashtag pray for Lou. Poor thing.
the songs had just dropped for Selecciona Națională when I got Romanian sweepstake, and I was like, is this a joke? Is this a joke? At least Yamame was catchy, like,
yeah.
This
I'm taking
selection,
not a fan of the 2023 song from Romania.
It was such
then.
A mess, Connor. Like,
Romania has sent such good entries to the contest. Yamame, they just polished and made so good last year. Romania, like, they had Roxanne, didn't fully work out, but they were really trying with her. What the hell are they doing this year?
Not
what
too.
The hell are they doing?
DGT, Off and Go, Theodore André. Taylor Hines is representing Romania 2020. He's the spitting image of him.
He is.
Spitting image of him. To be honest, I don't really remember the song.
That's what I was going to say. Like, what is this entry? Like, what is it?
Mm.
I think there's elements like, he actually seems really cool. I like that he has a bit of a style going. And that's where that's it ends. What's the song? What's the staging?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm being cruel. Like, maybe I haven't had enough time to sit with this.
No, but, like, on a first listen, you do get a pop. But you're like you last night, when you heard Malta. I know we'll talk about Malta earlier.
I reacted.
Later, but you reacted. You were like,
you
ooh.
You need people to react to a
because
song,
that's what
you?
People are going
to
be like down in their life. You know, they'll totally. Be watching it. The majority of people will be watching this for the first time ever. Mm-hmm. And be, oh, gripped by that.
What is going to make you vote for Romania this year? Like, what? Other than being diaspora. You know,
yeah.
And our diaspora are even going to be bothered to vote for this, to be honest.
No.
Do you know?
No. It doesn't grip you. It doesn't do anything. Do you know?
Yeah.
It's there.
Yeah. This whole selection was a mess. Like, there actually wasn't, in my opinion, any, like, really good options. Now, potentially, there could have been ones that they could have polished better. There was, like, a blah, blah, blah pop girly one that wasn't, like, horrific that they could have done a bit of a Yamame on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But
I'm
disappointed with Romania. I expected better from them.
On the Eurovision World website, the winning song got 2 stars out of 5. It's a little.
No, I just love that you've gone to check the rating.
Yeah, third and fourth have 4.5 stars.
Right. Yeah.
So the fans aren't very happy about this. I don't reckon. But you know, look, it won. We'll see. We'll see what they can do. Romania do tend to give us a little revamp, you know, in terms of staging, style, everything like that. Song-wise, but not really, but...
Do you know what? We could be optimistic and say they could tweak this. And I would welcome that, totally. Like, the more competitive Eurovision we have, the better. You know? This is a song that could just get buried in the running order and what will really happen with it. But, like, Romania, they take themselves seriously. Do you know, in fairness, I see them trying with this. So maybe not all hope is lost.
No. And they are in semi-final 2, so it is the weaker of the 2 semi-finals. So potentially there could be a pathway into the final. But I just don't see it. You know, is it a televoter-friendly song? Don't know. I feel like this is like a second place in the running order song. Although it's filled the gap.
Yeah.
There we go. In we go.
Yeah, it's there.
Yeah.
So moving on from Romania over to one of my favourite countries in Europe to visit, Croatia. I don't know about in this case, in terms of the selection. Dora took place. And let's put it this way. The Dora selection had a winner. Let 3 with the song Mama Shh. Mama Shh? Yeah.
Yeah.
mamá, Ljubila Morona.
It has not yet been confirmed
yes.
for the Eurovision Song Contest, which I've been tweeting about today, actually. Today being Sunday, the day after Super Saturday. I wonder, Connor, I'm curious, by the time this episode has aired in the next couple of days, I'm imagining something will have to be said.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling, well, I presume I'm not the only one, I have a strong feeling there's a bit of a headache coming for Croatia and the EBU, given maybe the background of the song, the intent of the song, but not only that, just this group in general.
Mm-hmm.
So this song is called Mama. Shh. The lyrics are probably provocative at best.
Yeah.
Controversial. Referencing war, or it's anti-war, I suppose you can say, which obviously, like, anti-war, that's always, you know, it's good to be anti-war.
Yeah.
This group are known for being controversial and provocative, are words I would use. We should probably preface this with a trigger warning. If you go onto the Wikipedia of this group, there's some very grotesque,
disgusting
things that they've done over the years.
Yeah.
I like, Connor, our reaction, I actually wish we had recorded our reaction watching this, because we had been watching something else and we flicked over to Dora and we saw they were winning.
And well, firstly, even before they were, you know, performed, even their, you know, manner in the green room, you know, opening the jackets, kind of that flasher kind of vibe. It was uncomfortable to watch.
You and I were kind of like, what's...
It was like, haha, funny, okay, but like, no, stop that.
Bit of discomfort. And then we said, okay, they're doing well in the votes. Let's flick on their performance.
Yeah.
We got it up on YouTube. We sat in silence for the first bit, like, oh my God.
Shocked.
The rockets on the stage, the costumes, the actual song itself.
It's we're going back, I think this is actually even worse, but we're going back to that kind of old Eurovision of the jokey acts, but this is just to another level of it. It's a disgusting entry, frankly, and I just don't understand how Croatia thought that this was the route for them to go down.
I agree and I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I know why Croatia thought this was the route to go down. Because I was talking to a Croatian Eurovision fan this morning. And this group are huge in Croatia. Like, we're talking huge. So, like, from the offset, no matter what song they sent, they were getting votes.
Mm-hmm.
Bit of a wild U thing, but to, like, a higher extent.
Yeah.
And the message behind this song and the stuff they're referencing, I can see why Croatians have voted for it in their numbers. And as Irish people, that's not something you and I are going to fully understand.
Yeah.
How and ever. This is where the issue can lie with national selections and Eurovision. I sort of nearly sympathise or can figure out why Croatia went for this. But this is a disaster of an entry to send to Eurovision, because number one, you're giving the EBU a massive headache. Number two, as a Eurovision country, you're setting yourselves backwards. It's not going to help the view of the contest in your country. Number three, you can't expect most first-time viewers to get this.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, these guys are known in the Balkan countries, and some of the Balkan countries do not like them. They have slagged off two Balkan countries in particular, and one of them is in this semi-final, and I don't think that's going to go down too well in this particular country. So it's a bit, it's like, it's just a headache for everyone involved. And I mean, I get it. I get they're known in Croatia. I get that people probably love the song. I think it's brilliant to have a message behind your song. I particularly think it's great to use your platform to send a message. I just think there's more tasteful ways to do it. You know, and they're known for being provocative and they're known for being controversial, but could they have just toned it down a notch?
Yeah.
It's sort of a shame. I'm kind of like, if they had toned it down, or if they do tone it down a notch, I'd potentially be like, ah, it's a bit of gas. No harm in it. But at the moment, there is.
For me, I think even learning about their background and what they've done in the past, I still would be very, very worried for them to go to Eurovision.
Yeah.
Second point as well, what you were saying there, like Croatia taking a new direction of, okay, you know, we've sent good songs in the past, let's try something different. We went through a similar stage with Dustin, you know. Dustin is loved in Ireland, and I know you're a big fan of Dustin.
Leave Dustin alone!
But, like, he's huge in Ireland. Everyone in Ireland loves his crack.
Yeah.
But Europe didn't get it.
You can't expect Europe to get it, yeah.
And, you know, they didn't like it. But, on the other hand, Dustin's song wasn't in any way offensive, to be honest. Like, it was a bit of crack, an Irish humoured song.
Yeah.
But Europe just didn't get it. Whereas with this song, it just seems to be very offensive. Yes, the anti-war message is coming through, but, like, it's very literal. Like, why do you need two bombs on stage with, you know, confetti coming out of them? Do you know what I mean? You don't need that. It's just, it's very, very worrying entry, to be honest.
I think, like, I'm down with it, in a sense. It's good to oppose evil people and people who are wrong. But then, because, you know, there may be people listening who feel like you should use your platform to do that, you know, to oppose people who are evil, starting wars, whatever else. And I see that. But then you have to ask yourself the level of provocativeness in a contest where Ukrainian culture is going to be really representative, where the UK are trying to put on a really good, safe show. You just don't want to invite the wrong kind of attention. That's probably where I'm coming from with it.
I think you put that perfectly.
It's like, I think draw attention to, like, at the end of the day, the EBU can't have anything too inherently political in the competition, and it's in order to, like, keep people safe and keep the integrity of the contest intact. And, like, it's a fine line between, like, artists have to represent themselves and their beliefs, and if they believe in anti-war and if they believe in opposing evil people, I think that's amazing. Like, use your platform to do that, but maybe just be a bit more clever about it.
Or be a bit more, to be so literal about it.
Be a bit more subtle, or there are ways to do it without, as I said, inviting the wrong kind of attention. And this would actually just concern me a little bit. I don't know. But then, like, we could be wrong, Connor. I don't know. Is there a fine line that they are treading on and it's okay? But I just think it's interesting the EBU has been so quiet in confirming them.
The only place that has posted about it is the Eurovision Instagram.
However,
the website...
The wording.
Yeah. Do you have...
The Twitter and Instagram have indeed posted about them. But did you notice? They said they have won DORA 2023 overwhelming jury and televote landslide. But in nowhere in those captions does it mention they are going to Liverpool or they are representing Croatia in Eurovision. Nowhere in those captions does it say that.
Okay.
Which is very telling. Because if you look at the other captions of nearly every other artist, it's Marco Mengoni is representing Italy in Eurovision. Sudden Lights are going to Liverpool for Latvia. It does not say that anywhere for these lads in Croatia. And it still says to be confirmed on the Eurovision website.
Mm-hmm.
Marco Mengoni only confirmed he was going to Eurovision this morning at around like 10 a.m. or something. And I was watching and I was refreshing the page. Marco Mengoni went up probably about 10 minutes after he confirmed. Croatia, still nowhere to be seen. And I know there was talk around the Czech Republic and stuff. And I do actually think now the delay with that was largely to do with the name change of the country going to Czechia rather than Czech Republic. I mean, maybe there is more to it. We don't know. But I don't imagine the EBU is just letting this straight through the doors. No. They're definitely looking into this one and being very careful.
So, for me, anyway, I do think if Croatia were told to change the song, I'm not too sure if they would, to be honest, because it did, like you said, overwhelmingly win DORA, you know, both with the jury and with the televote. I feel like we could be potentially looking at a withdrawal of Croatia from the contest if that does happen.
I agree with you.
Which would be a shame because, of course, you know, more countries participating, the better. You know, it's great to have, you know, diversity in the lineup.
Competition, friendly competition.
That's what it's all about. Yeah. But for me, I would rather Croatia not participate with this entry if it was to go to Liverpool, mm-hmm. personally. Because I do like Croatia as a country at Eurovision. I do think they've sent some quite nice songs over the last few years. So I think, I just feel like you'd make a huge mistake. And of course, that's coming from a perspective of a non-Croatian person.
You know, I was just going to say, yeah. It's so hard to know. Like, there could be Croatian people who were just like, the Europeans won't get this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. I think as well, just like all the kind of message, political meaning stuff aside, like as a song, it's dreadful.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Melodically, it's horrific.
Yeah.
His
vocal's decent though, in fairness. Like, he does have a alright vocal, you know, he is hitting the high notes towards the end of the song to give him a bit of credit, but that's as far as I'm going.
Yeah, Jesus Connor, you paid better attention than I did. Yeah, like, there was another entry we haven't even, like, they've been taking up so much of our attention, oh, yeah. In fairness.
They came second, in fairness. It was
Nevera,
yeah.
That studio track was great. It sounded so like Fatboy Slim right here, yeah. Right now. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Sorry, that was horrific singing. But the live was, did you see the live of that? The girls awkwardly twirling.
Oh, Jesus.
It wasn't the one. No. Not the one. No. So, I mean, in fairness, if for some reason Let Three aren't going to Liverpool and the second place do go, they'd need to clean it up a lot. But the actual song is great, I think. And traditional and
be more of a credible entry as well, to be honest, in my opinion, than this.
I wouldn't say it's more credible. I would just say it's less controversial. Just, I mean, let's see what happens.
To be confirmed. TBC.
It's so funny that we've probably spent the most time talking about a song that hasn't been confirmed,
yeah.
And may not make it to Eurovision, yeah. Sure, isn't that the way? We have one or two of these things most years.
Yeah, there's always, you know, that attention. Oh, if he will it go, will it not go? But look, we'll have to wait and see. And I'm sure if you keep an eye on our socials and stuff, we will be monitoring the situation
monitoring
very closely
on our security camera.
Yeah. Eurovision. Anish, it's a cure and wrong. Tom Agamotog's too fain.
Oh, Tom Gragger of Mogus. The Eleanor Shul, there was a lot going on their shocked in the show this weekend. The Galore Aeroin Nua, there was a lot of new songs. Ta on Shketwini Gwyn, we were very excited. August on Will T. Ray.
Tommy Ray.
Kerklore. Lanaraig, right, okay. Frawls on Shocked and Shaw. This week's phrase. Mohim Nisfjar Imoganzi.
I prefer my jumper, something. Say that again, so
Mohim.
Yeah.
Nisfjar.
Yeah.
Imoganzi.
I feel most comfortable in my jumper. Something.
You've, like, translated it perfectly, but in the Eurovision context.
Yeah, I know it's Latvia's song.
No.
Oh, no, not Latvia, sorry. Malta.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
See, if you appreciate a song like I do.
This is Louise's propaganda, I feel.
Mahim Nisar, the Malkanzi.
No clue. I translated literally though, so
yeah, but it's not what you're looking for. It's not the lyric.
He's not accepting my answer, lads.
Well, no, like, I'm trying to help you to get there because you're, like, really close. So okay. Translate it again. Mohim.
Myself.
No, Mohim.
My something. Oh, I.
Yeah, I.
Think.
Mohu coin is feelings, right? So Mohim.
My feeling.
I
feel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nisfjar.
More comfortable.
No.
Nice, like,
better.
The best.
Better.
Better. I feel better in my jumper.
I feel better in my
sweater.
There you go.
da, 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 da. I feel better, my sweater. Da, 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 da. Woo! I love Malta.
Oh my god.
It's Bralum. Malta.
Propaganda.
Propaganda. Do you know what? If I can use Conor for my own personal propaganda this season, I will. Conor, come up with another segment of the podcast. And you spread your propaganda, my friend.
I think we need
no
to bring back
problem.
The game from the first episode. The
do it.
Guess the
I love the game. Do it.
Jesus. To be confirmed. To be confirmed.
TBC, like Croatia. That brings us to the next part of the podcast. All right, lads. Grimmy the Wahoo with. And all there is to say is
Slong of Home. We got two more countries to discuss from Super Saturday. Next up, two chooser act was Malta. Malta, Malta, Malta. Lovely country. I love Malta. I want to go back very, very soon. But yeah, we
from
got
one
the
island country. Nation to another.
Yeah.
But they're in the Mediterranean, the lucky sods.
Yeah, lovely heat. I literally got sunburned by 12 degrees. Like, yes. I was on the pharmacy and the woman was like, what's wrong with you? I said, it's 12 degrees and I got sunburned. I didn't expect to get sunburned.
I'm Irish. That's
I'm Irish, yeah.
Literally what's
Irish.
Right with me?
Yeah. But yeah, Malta selected its act last night. And it was actually a decent show. I knew we were going to laugh on the bits and pieces of it, but it was actually a decent enough show.
We actually got good crack out
yeah,
of the
fire, like
we?
That last, like,
that,
oh, that interval
20-minute medley.
I say they were bollocks by the end of it. Like, literally.
That fella. I don't know
living his
name.
Best life. Billy Barry kid. 100%. 100%.
He was a Eurovision fan, I've no
doubt. Oh, definitely. But in the end, they selected their act, and it's the Busker Dance Our Own Party. I feel better in my sweater. I got my stereo. I play songs, you know. But hey, wait, what'd you say? Do you want to dance? I think it's best if we come to Lou first in this song because I think she likes it. I think she likes it. I'm not too sure. Oh, here we go. Oh, oh, she's moving, lads.
Oh,
she's
oh,
moving.
Yeah.
Eight.
So, Malta last night, I was on ESC Plus Live. I was flicking between all the countries. I didn't see most of Malta, to be quite honest. I tuned in. I saw a bit of Brooke. Thought she was decent. Staging was cool. Didn't see most of the rest of it. Then was with Connor kind of for the medley part and the results. And they kind of leapfrogged a bit in the results. And they came out. And Connor, you like saw my live reaction to this. So they didn't have any of the staging for the winner's reprise.
No.
Because like they were all on stage just bopping. But as soon as the saxophone kicked in, I was like, ooh, ooh, ooh.
I love a brass instrument.
I love brass instruments. I do. I really love them. And this song... my bag, right? So I was loving the song, and then afterwards I said to Connor, I need to see the staging to that.
Yeah.
Connor flicked up the YouTube video with the proper staging, and oh, I loved it. Mm. I loved it. The act one, act two, act three elements in it. They went on a bit of a journey around the stage. There was so much going on. He started off with these cardboard cutouts of like Destiny and Irolasco and all behind with the party hats. He's definitely a Eurovision fan,
oh, yeah,
lead
yeah.
singer. And that was kind of fun. Was on the couch with his bandmates. One of the lads had a saxophone. One of the lads was a percussionist, was a drummer. Then moved out into the stage. Ended up kind of doing like a car sequence back on the couch. Then they were in the disco. Then he did an outfit change. There was a lot going on.
Mm.
Little bit messy, but it was very ambitious, which I hugely respect. Do you know all I could actually think today, listening and watching back to this, and I, like, as you can probably tell, I bloody love this entry. If I ever entered a Eurovision national selection, I would probably do what that guy did and throw the kitchen sink at the staging, and just every single idea I come up with, I put on the stage. Because there was probably a bit too much going on. It was hugely ambitious, but it was still cute and it worked. Mm-hmm. And I loved the graphics and I loved the whole gamer aspect in it. That was fun. So I think what they can do now is tidy it up, maybe take a few bits out so he doesn't have so much to do. Think about the best bits of it they can leave in. Keep it fun. Capitalize on the fun and the saxophone. Europe loves a saxophone and I love a saxophone. This is so much fun. It's really catchy. It's on the same vein as Lavender, so I'm afraid it might flop. I hope it doesn't flop, but it's so much fun.
I think it's safe to say this is your entry that people won't love, but you will fully back it to the end of this
season. I'm going
to
be so annoying, guys. I'm going to be so annoying about
this. Oh, I saw you in people's replies last night, particularly Michal's, of just sending the lyrics.
Do you know what? He deserves it. He was so annoying about Emma Muscat last year.
But the fact that you guys have switched, like, you literally was like, you know what, Malta's my turn this year, let me have
it's
a
like
go.
Someone's turned to babysit Malta. It'll be you next year, Connor. Like, do you remember, like, 10 years ago, Malta, it's so weird to think 2013 was 10 years ago, they sent a song, Tomorrow.
Yeah.
I loved that. And this kind of reminds me of, whoa, and he has a little ukulele.
This reminds you of that.
It does, because. Does it? It's like, it's obviously musically, it's similar, but the kind of the journey around the stage the song goes on.
Okay.
And the music video for this was really cute. He was like on a park bench with a girl, if I'm remembering correctly. And then on the stage, they like, he was moving around a lot and it was really fun. It was like what I'd
little
expect when I go to. Yeah, the little waistcoat is what I expect when I go to Malta. Like fun, brightness, sun, like. Light instruments, bright instruments. Then he ends up, he had like a load of backing singers and they were all like sitting together, going left to right, bopping their heads. It's in that vein. This is the Malta I love. Fun Malta. Mm-hmm. Give me fun Malta all the time, please. Malta taking itself too seriously is not my book. Like, that is an island I want to go to. Soak up the sun. Have nice food.
I'll bring you.
Go for a bop. Will you bring me, Connor?
I will.
All right.
Valletta, here we come.
I'm thinking of going for my birthday this year.
Really?
Are you coming?
Totally.
Okay.
I go back to Malta in a heartbeat.
April.
I'll book it off.
Anyone want to come?
Yeah, open invite.
Podcast trip.
I think this entry reminds me a bit of Blast Mafia in Norway. A bit of Lake Malawi in Czech Republic.
Oh my God,
mixed
yes.
Mixed together. Indie.
That makes sense why I love it, because yeah. I love those two as well.
Yeah, I agree with you. Staging is a total mess. So I think they need to pair it back. And I'd love a bit more charisma from the guys. I know they're kind of going for that kind of awkwardy, shy kind of vibe. But I'd love a bit more charisma from them, you know. Have a bit of a boogie. Have a bit of dance.
Epic sax man 2.0.
Yes.
Like, go for it.
Go for it. Let your hair down. Yeah, no. I think this is a good entry for Malta. I like it.
In terms of the other contenders we had, Brooke actually ultimately came like third or fourth or something like that.
I think fourth?
Yeah.
Fourth, yeah.
It was decent. To be honest, I actually think the lads, the Busker song is better than the song she had to offer. But she put together a good package for it, checkmate. Like, she had LED floor and it looked a bit like a chessboard. Her dancers had kind of glittery masks. They were like the knights. Like, it kind of worked. But I honestly think the Busker is going to pop more in Liverpool than Brooke would have. I think Brooke would have had, she would have struggled getting out of semi-final one, let's be real.
I think so. But the person who came in second, Ryan Healy.
Yeah.
Ryan Healy. As we thought they were saying.
Healy. No, they did say Healy.
Oh, they did say Healy.
They did say Healy, yeah, but it was spelled like
H-I-L-I.
And we were like, Ryan Healy from Tremore, County Waterford. Any excuse to put an Irish spin on it?
In the silence, I loved this performance. I would have been happy to see him go to Eurovision either. But yeah. I'm happy for him to finish second because I thought he was going to flop quite badly. So I'm glad that he got the love.
Good for him. Deserve.
But yeah, maybe come on, Ryan Healy. Come on.
Ryan Healy.
Come on.
It honestly sounds like a Euro song entrance
for
next year.
Oh, literally, in silence. Do-do-do-do-do. But yeah, that was Malta. And we have one more country to discuss, Lou.
We're still in the Mediterranean?
Yes.
The home of San Remo. Marco Mengoni.
National final.
In Italy. Oh, what a beautiful man.
Jesus.
He's a beautiful man.
San Remo.
10 years later... 2013.
Yes.
He won Sanremo. He went to Eurovision with L'Essenziale. Love that song. He's won with his song Due Vite.
Due Vite, yeah.
Yep. Se questa è l'ultima canzone, poi la luna esploderà. Sarò lì a dirti che sbagli, ti sbagli, lo sai. Qui non arriva la musica. I mean, look, Marco Mengoni could sing me the phone book and I would sit there for like 8 or 9 hours and then I would say thank you. No, but seriously, no, seriously, I don't want to take away from
no,
Sam.
I get what
he's
you
a
mean.
Beautiful man. He's a beautiful
That's
man.
That's what you sound like, nice, like, thank you.
He's a beautiful man. Yeah. He's a beautiful singer. He's very, very talented. He was the runaway winner. Really?
Yeah.
I'm struggling with Italy a bit. Like, it's kind of funny when you go to question Italy, because at the end of the day, it's like San Remo is its own institution. Mm-hmm. It's its own festival. It's outside of Eurovision, really. You know, whether that, you know, it's first or
San Remo is their priority.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Like, Eurovision's like afterthought. Yeah. Like, you know, person gets first refusal if they win. Mm-hmm. If not, goes to the next person. It is disappointing to see how much they favour men.
It is.
And that was a point I was tweeting a lot about last night, and you know, not to make it all about that stuff, but still, it's a shame to see that there's very talented women and everything coming forward and with very good songs, and they're just constantly not making the super final. Since 2015, there's been 5 women present in the Sanremo super final. That's in 8 years. Since I was calculating, in the last 5 years since 2018, there's been 3.
Jesus.
Including like Victoria Franskin. So a mixed group there. It's we've had Lisa, we've had Francesca Michelin. No, it's not. It's men. But Marco Mengoni dedicated his Sanremo
to the
women of Sanremo. And he spoke out this morning saying it's a shame. He'd like to see more women in super final going forward, which I thought was great. But Sanremo as a whole this year, what do you feel about it, Connor?
Triana, I always struggle with Sanremo because it is just so long and it is quite a tiring national final. Now, to be honest, I was still quite hungover from Eurosong.
A tiring festival. They wouldn't like you calling it a national final.
Tiring festival. Yeah. To Italia, as they put in the 73rd festival to Italia. Yeah, I was quite hungover from Eurosong, to be honest.
Oh, right,
our
okay.
Eurosong. Yeah. So every national final this week or festival, I was quite taking a step back. I would have loved to have been a bit more in depth with these national finals this week. But San Remo, I literally avoided until Saturday night.
Mm.
I saw various performances. I watched the recaps of songs, but that was it. Nothing really stood out to me much this year. Like last year, I had a few faves. There was nothing really. I was like, oh, that's a bit quirky, that's a bit unique. No, nothing. It was just the same old, same old. And Marco's song, it's good. It's not wow, like Brividi last year, or you know, Chow Chow even, you know, it didn't grip me. Like I still stream that to this day. Funny enough, a friend of mine, close family friend, loves Marco, messaged me last night and was asking me, oh, is he gonna win Sanremo? And I was like, yeah, there's a high possibility. And I sent her the song. And she said, oh, like him, the song wouldn't be for me. I love him, but the song doesn't do him justice. So, and she loves him. Like, she's obsessed with him. So it's interesting to see that. He did say today now that there is a possibility of him changing the song. Now,
there
I don't
was
know
a query
if
a, over that. The
whether
translation.
It was lost in translation. Is,
yeah.
Because he said that he's going to decide in the next week. He's going to go back to the studio and talk with his band. Now, whether that, you know, means revamping the current song, because obviously it's 3.5 minutes as opposed to 3 minutes, or if he is actually going to, you know, fully change the song.
Well, see, the thing is that there was a query over, was that translated correctly?
Okay.
So, is it not the case, like, that he didn't say anything about changing the song? It was more about the, like, revamping it or like editing it down to 3 minutes, so it's not really clear, because we obviously don't speak Italian.
Yeah.
So I'm not 100% sure if that was, like, we're just going off what kind of fans translated online, so it's not 100% clear if that is actually what he was saying about.
So according to the English Sanremo Twitter account, regarding the possibility of changing his song for Eurovision, Marco said he wants to go back to the studio with the band first, and then they will decide what to do.
But changing the song doesn't mean switching the song. It means fixing up the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's not very,
it's very vague.
It's
really
not clear.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would be surprised if he had a new song.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of saying changed, because that could have different connotations, it's not clear if he'll have a new song. I doubt it, but I think it'll be a revamp and a editing down to a 3-minute version.
Just another quote then. This was taken from an interview with him. The question was, are you going to compete with the song in Eurovision? And he said, I will think about it starting from tomorrow. It can either be that song or, I don't know, the song that might win selection to go to Eurovision. I will think about it from tomorrow.
That's a weird translation.
Very weird translation. Now, that's from the official Sanremo English account on Twitter. So it's like you were saying, we don't know exactly what he's kind of trying to say in that, but
I think, to be honest, Connor, either way, he's going to do well. Like, he's going to get jury love. It's like an Italy top 10.
Yeah.
It cannot
definitely.
I could see it having, like, a solid brevity 7th place. Yeah. Maybe higher if it's a weak Eurovision year. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah. No, I think so.
This will do well. Sanremo on the whole, I personally love Sanremo. Most years, I will follow it most nights and I'll stay up. Night owl, Mediterranean gal, I'll do it. But I don't know, I wasn't feeling it as much this year. Like, last year there was a bit more fun, a bit more mischief going on. Like, Amadeus, he had Maneskin in the golf cart. There was like, it's Britney, bitch.
Yeah.
There was like all these fun moments going on. I preferred the songs on the whole too. I mean, it was clear Brevity was going to win.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved Elisa. I thought she was amazing. There was a few songs I had attachments to. I mean, Sanremo 2020. Oh my God. Fire Amore. Ringo Starr, like so many great songs, so many great moments. I feel personally Sanremo as a festival just dipped a tiny bit this year, but hilarious. Like, for Sanremo to dip is still like beyond what most Eurovision countries could ever in their wildest dreams do.
Interesting though, this was the most watched Sanremo since 1997.
Really?
So, you know, Italy loved it. So
that's the main thing.
Yeah, interesting, but yeah. I agree with you. I thought Sanremo this year was a bit disappointing for
us international
fans.
Yeah,
but feckles. It's an Italian festival.
We don't matter.
We don't
matter. Italians are like,
yeah.
We don't care what you guys think.
We like the song, that's it. But yeah, and that was Super Saturday anyway. That was the 7 songs that we got. We did have a few other semi-finals and stuff like that, but I think we're going to save that for when they
I have a lot of feelings about Melfest. We'll have to come back to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alright everyone, so there we have it. The 7 from Super Saturday, the Super Saturday 7. Connor, I feel like we need to do a double high five today. That was a lot of songs to get through in one podcast, and we now have a good section of the cohort of Eurovision 2023.
Absolutely.
Just to really quickly, I suppose, flick over to the socials. Do follow us on our socials, by the way. Eurovision Podcast on Instagram, Eurovision Pod on Twitter. We're on TikTok, we're on YouTube. Instagram, we're getting so many great insights from all of you. We did stick up a story and asking you, you know, to ask us questions or just general chat how you're all feeling about the weekend. And something that's come in is Olivia MacArthur. Hi Olivia, great person for submitting stuff into the boxes. What was our favourite song chosen this week? And then she asks, did we see that Wild Youth confirmed they will revamp the song? Well, I think Wild Youth have been looking at the possibility of revamping the song, but that's all to be confirmed down the line. Back to her first question. What was your favourite song chosen this week, Connor?
Denmark. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
Probably my second favourite. Denmark would be.
I wonder what the first one is. I wonder what it is. Lads,
feel
better.
I feel really sorry for Connor. I'm just one of those people, like, propaganda and my favourite songs, like, I can't help it. If he's like Malta, will you let me know so we can make a little army or something?
A little army?
That sounds, yeah.
You know what I mean? See you little passionate group. About songs. Like, you always have that one song.
I just love fun. I just love fun.
I really do. I really do. But there we have it, lads.
Yeah.
That was Super Saturday. But well, that is all for this episode. That was a bit of a marathon. Mm-hmm. So probably one of our, like,
craziest, longest, busy,
yeah, busiest episodes. So we did well, Connor. We got through it. Let us know, of course, what you think about that Super Saturday gone by. What are you looking forward to also to come in this season? Of course, as we've mentioned, follow us on our Instagram, Eurovision Podcast, Eurovision Pod on Twitter. Where else are we, Connor?
We're on YouTube, TikTok, email us.
The works. Pinterest.
We're on
Tumblr.
Everything, yeah. Jesus.
We're not on those.
No. not yet.
it's the joke. It's the joke. We had to do the joke. But of course, as always, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for being here. Thanks for all your interactions online and so forth. Really appreciate it. Looking forward to catching up with you all again in the next episode. But for now, all there is to say is
Slongafon.